Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. On today's sermon, Pastor Walker will be teaching from his series entitled Deep Rest. As a Christian, your life should not feel complicated. Jesus calls, "Come to me, for all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's listen as Pastor Walker shares how you can handle the demands of the world with joy and face life's challenges with peace in your heart. Now here's Pastor Walker with today's sermon.
Well, good morning. Welcome to chilly South Texas. How about that? Not the kind in the bowl, but the kind you need to put a jacket on. And the Lord is good all the time, but it just seems like he's especially good when the weather's cool to me. You know, I don't know how you may feel about that. The joy of being able to be together in the house of the Lord and worship his name and be reminded of his greatness and the attributes of who our Father, our Savior, truly is. What a blessing it is. Bless you for getting up and coming this morning and with your Bibles and with your hearts open. And we'll look again back into this passage of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 in particular, but we need to finish up verse 28 so we can move on in to verses 29 and 30. And I believe the Lord, in his brilliance and in his understanding of human nature and understanding of us, his children, he realizes that some things have to be laid down, some things have to be unloaded in order for some new things, the right things that fit us, to be picked up. I believe that's what he's talking about. Let me just, if I could, offer a brief word of petition that the Lord by his Spirit will be our teacher this morning. And still our hearts and open our hearts. Lord, that is our desire this morning, that it wouldn't just be the sound of a man's voice. It wouldn't just be the rustle of our thoughts trying to keep up with what someone is saying or even what the Scripture is giving to us. But that, Lord, you will be our teacher this morning in the name of Jesus. That you will open up our hearts, you'll open up our minds, you'll open up the emotional part of us, the volitional choosing part of us, so that as you speak to our hearts, we're just saying, "Yes, Lord, set it in place in our hearts. Yes, Lord, establish it as truth in our hearts." Thank you, Holy Spirit of Jesus, that you are the one who comforts us. You are the one who helps us. You are the one who guides us into all truth. And we just ask you to please do that this morning. Rain on us, O river and moisture and life of God. Rain on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So here are the words of the Savior that we've been camping out on for the last several weeks. Come to me. This is Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just to review some of the main thoughts, maybe not all of the points of insight, but that the Lord has led us through these last weeks, but just some of the few of the main ones. Come to me, all who are weary. A deep rest for a deep tire. Jesus is not speaking to ones who really all they need is just to sit down and have one drink of water and cool off for 3 or 4 minutes in the shade. That kind of rest can be important on a long journey. But what I believe he's speaking of here is ones who are working, and the literal word that he uses, working to exhaustion. There's some things going on in your life that are leaving you depleted leaving you exhausted, might be another word, leaving you just worn out. Now, you get up and you keep going. But we're not going from a place of strength. We're going from a place of having been drained. It's those, he says, come to me. Make a choice. Instead of staying with the plan and pattern you've been following, time out. Time out. Now this isn't just anybody saying you can take a time out. This is the Lord of all. This is the one saying, I'm giving to you permission to take a time out. Come to me, as if come to me away from, or come to me realizing that you don't have to keep carrying whatever it is you've been carrying. You can leave that and come to me. If some of that's still hanging on you and you can't eject it, come anyway. Come to me, but come to me. It's as if he's saying, I'm not chasing you down. You make the choice to come. Well, who is to come? All who are weary and heavy laden. The word there, I just kind of stomped my foot on that one and, you know, waved at it a little bit. All. There's no category of all that's not included in this word for all in the Greek New Testament. It's every kind of condition, every kind of timing, every kind of situation, every kind of every kind, all. He's not talking just to Christians, because the ones he's speaking to here that were listening to him at this time, they weren't even believers in Jesus. It was not until he was raised from the dead that even his own apostles, even those who would be his apostles, those who were followers of him, could fit into what Paul would say is the receiving of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. In this gospel we stand. They hadn't seen him raised from the dead. They weren't totally sure why he would be dying on the cross at this time. So Jesus wasn't talking to church-going, Bible marked up, hymn-singing people. His category was to all kinds of people. If you find yourself in the category of recognizing that you're worn out from carrying burdens or from trying to work things out, and there have been, you're worn out because things have been put on you that you didn't put on yourself, and it's brought you to the place of exhaustion, come to me all. Not just scripture quoting people, not just forgiven sinner people. We're remembering this, that the Scripture says that the way of the transgressor is hard. So a transgressor's life, chasing a life of sin, will wear you out. It will leave you worn out just as much as we've talked about chasing a cause, chasing a righteous cause, pursuing something that seems like it's a calling on your life. He said it doesn't matter how you got to the exhaustion, but the fact that you're worn out qualifies you to come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. That word for heavy laden, you'll remember, that's that perfect tense. It means that a burden that was put on you or something that was put on you back here in your past, but the effect of what was said to you, the effect of what happened to you then, though time has passed, time has not healed all of those wounds. Time is not God. Time is not all powerful. Just the passage of time does not have the ability to remove what was put on you back at that point in time. He says, all who are weary, currently working to exhaustion, and those of you who've had stuff laid on you by what people said to you, by events that happened to you, by conditions that came to you, by stuff that blew up, and you were left with the residue of what happened there. And the effect of that is as real today in some ways as if it happened yesterday. That's who he's talking to. I'm going to tell you, that's just such good news. When the Lord, Jesus is described as the friend of sinners, the friend of sinners, when he is described as the one who is the healer of broken hearts, you can't heal a broken heart unless you understand what a broken heart feels like. And it says what he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And as we talked about, that word for rest, at the core of the meaning of that word is the word permission. I will give you permission to cease from that labor. I will give you permission to lay down those things. Well, permission doesn't necessarily equate to it actually happening in my life. And that is where the Lord by His Spirit working in us is so important. But just the fact that He's saying to us, I know you're worn out. I know you're starting every day tired. Maybe not physically drained totally, but emotionally worn out. Starting every day tired. Starting every day under the weight. And some of those things that were spoken about us, that happened to us all those years ago, we've lived with that so long, it's not even clear to us how great a weight that is. And that's why we began to talk about, so what's your default position? What's your default position? You remember that? It may not be that you're just an angry person. It may just be that you're tired. It may not be that you're a loser. You're just weary from the words that somebody spoke and tried to frame you with as a child. You're second class. You're no good. You'll never make it. And the weight of those words, the power of life and death are in the tongue. When a father says something like that to a child, when a coach or a teacher or an employer says something about there's someone under them, the weight of that, maybe not with everybody, but with you, it's stuck. And you've lived all the days of your life trying to prove that guy wrong, trying to prove your father wrong, or just giving up. That's who I am. So I'm not really ever going to be able to aspire for greatness and aspire for something higher than I can reach in the natural because I'm nothing. How do you know you're nothing? Who said you're nothing? And sometimes we have to stop and think, where did that get into me? And it started maybe when somebody said something, some significant person, or some event happened, something out of the blue, or something happened, and it seemed like it pegged you as that kind of person. And the weariness of that. Of somehow, some way, sometimes in your life, knowing I am not that person. That's not who I am. But because it seems like it's been reinforced, the weight of that can wear us down and wear us down to the point that we don't try, that we don't run. I remember coming back from Montana, and I told you, folks, that's where this kind of came from. We left to get away going in the summer. I felt this Lord was just putting this in my heart, deep rest. And we look forward to getting away because it's always rest, but it just seemed like He's kept pressing this. And then we do our hikes up there. We'll walk and, you know, all that stuff. Walked about 125 miles in 1 month, the month that we were up there. Just most of it this way. And if you go that way, then you got to go that way. And it's different sets of muscles and all that kind of stuff. And it became just clearer than maybe ever before. That if you don't rest on a long walk, you'll never finish the walk. If you don't stop and drink something and eat something, cool off, get your energy back. What you can come to the conclusion, if you ran out of water or you didn't bring any little energy bar or peanut butter sandwich to get you going, and you just try to do it nonstop, what you will end up doing is you'll stop short of where you want to get, and the conclusion can be, I can't make it. And it's not that you can't make it, it's what? You're just tired. I'm not a mountain climber. No, you could be, but the reason you're not is that you're worn out. You gave up. And Jesus is saying, you can take a time out and come to me, and I will give you rest. The default positions can be the place of anger. It's not that I'm an angry person. It's just I'm tired. It's not that you are a rejected human being necessarily, and who you totally are. But it's just that something back here has caused you to have that sense on you, and you're tired. Failure, fear, guilt, sadness. What if it's not that you're not a totally sad person? It's just that you're tired. And the Lord, what he's saying is, you got permission to get tired. It's not a sin to get worn out. He's not rebuking, he's just saying, the ones who I'm inviting to come to me are the ones who can acknowledge that it's true about you. You're worn out, working to exhaustion. I have something to give you. I'm not going to send you to hell for getting tired, for being worn out. That's not the unpardonable sin. But if you don't get rest, it can keep you away from your destiny in the Lord, with who He fashioned you to be. If weariness covers you, smothers you, shackles you, you won't be able to walk out the rest of the climb, walk out the rest of the destiny. So come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We talked a good bit about different aspects of that. Then we kind of came to this part where there are some things that if you don't unload and realize you have permission to unload, and then if you don't realize you don't have to take them back up again, you can stay in the same place of being worn out. It'll come back on you again. The things the thought patterns, the memories, the sense of what has been coming on you can keep you down and keep you worn out, unless there's a recognition that I've got to stop thinking like that. Because the thinking like that, the person who crushed you may have been dead 40 years. The company that fired you may not even be in existence anymore. But the effect of what happened then, because we get back into that same thought process, and it's as if the memories are vivid and they're real. Lord will say, just come to me. You come to me. So who am I coming to? Let me just give you a few spot or two to notice. Philippians chapter 2. Just turn. Now you're going to know as I start to read this what this is about. But Paul is identifying who Jesus is. It's important. When Jesus says, come to me. This is verse 9. Philippians 2 verse 9. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the one who is saying to you, you come to me. You come to me, the Lord God of all creation, the one whose name surpasses every other name. So it won't matter what your daddy said about you. If I'm saying something different about you, It won't matter what you did and how you blew it morally and however else you want to comprise that blowing it. If I say that you are forgiven through my death in your behalf, you're forgiven. You're forgiven and you're free. And you are who I say you are. But you see, we got to peel back those layers sometime. Because some of the most crushing effects of one human upon another can be the effect of rejection, the sense of rejection, being rejected by, not measuring up, not having the approval of someone that you really want to approve of you. And it's medically, scientifically verified that the effects of childhood trauma, which is not always just physical abuse, it can be verbal and emotional abuse. The effects of childhood trauma have the ability of crippling adults all the way through their lives. Why? It's because somebody said something and did something, and it was a somebody I cared about, that I wanted to love me, that I wanted to respect me and think good of me, and they didn't. So now what? Am I the sum total of their attitude toward me? Or am I somebody different that only my Creator knows that I am? So when He says, come to me, It's the one who has the final say, who has the final word, who among whom all the ones who have rejected in this life will one day declare, it is Jesus and He is the truth and what He has said is right. He is Lord. That's what that all means. But it also means the Savior, the one who knows the depths of our sins, knows the calendar of our sins, knows what was working and so wrong and so sick with was working inside us that caused us to do what we did. Even He says, you come to me. I love you even when you were in the worst of your worst. There's no sin that you have ever committed or would ever commit that is not covered in my blood on the cross 2,000 years ago. You come to me. You come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I've been trying to say this all along, that this for some is going to be quick and it's going to be just pretty much easy, just an easy slide into freedom. For others, the Lord is just going to say, no, you're going to need to spend some time with me. In order for you to be able to really hear what I say about you and not be influenced and marked by and your future determined by what somebody who's dead or some company that doesn't even exist or some decade that is long gone and it's just a footnote in a history book. Well, that, you're giving it power. You're giving that power. You're giving it a power to own you. And you don't have to. You come to me and I'll give you rest. I will give you a kind of rest that comes from His giving us a new understanding, a fresh understanding. If we stay crippled by our sins, and yet the one who died for our sins, paid the price for our sins, makes it possible for us to be set free from the guilt and the consequences of our sins, if He's the one who says you're forgiven, then somehow that's got to drop 18 inches that I'm forgiven. And I don't have to keep carrying the weight of my yesterday. And the one who has the final word, the one who in Hebrews 1 is the express radiance of the exact representation of the Father, the invisible God, the one who by the word of His power holds all things together, and He's the one who says you are forgiven and you are chosen and this is you were predestined to be a child of the King. And when that drops 18 inches, there's something. Here's where the rest comes in. As that settles in, then the ability to let go of and stop trying to live to meet the expectations of somebody who's been dead 30 years. Or still trying to work out from under something that happened 5 years ago or 5 months ago. It's today. And it's now. And the rest that the King gives and the Savior gives of knowing I'm forgiven. And knowing that I am not the sum total of my earthly father or some influential person in my life. I am not the sum total of their opinion about me. Now, folks, I can say that to you, and we can get pumped about it, and we can get fired up, but here's where the water hits the wheel. It's 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's 2:30 Wednesday afternoon. It's Friday night when you're by yourself. Who are you? Child of the King, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Determined and dictated to only by the determination of your Father who loves you. That's who you are. Now, just to say that, a load's off. You feel it? Just to have the truths of those declarations from Scripture spoken and heard, it's something about it just lifts stuff off of us. You live that way. Instead of just visiting that spot occasionally when a preacher is screaming, but you live in that way, and you know what? You may have to sit down and get your rest, get your breath, and get some energy. But instead of saying, I can't do this, so I'm going to go home. I can't do this. I'm just going to go back to this other life that was framed by all of these words and all of these acts. I think I can keep walking. I think I can keep going. Work out your salvation, Paul would say with fear and trembling. It's not about working it out to earn your way to God, but it's day by day walking it out, one step after another step, in the light of who he says you are. Now, let me show you another verse. 1 Corinthians. Where is 1 Corinthians in my Bible? It moved around on me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 3, Paul writing, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," or Simon Peter, "then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Some have died at the time of Paul's writing. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Can a hold your place there, but find the book of Philippians just quickly and again. I referenced that earlier, but now listen. Listen to Paul's pedigree. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day as a Jewish boy, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, would you back up again, starting in verse 5? Here is a summary of all of the voices from Paul's past, from the date of his birth to his completion of being trained at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the lead scholars of his day, to his alma mater, the Pharisees, that group of strict adherents to the Old Testament law. One's from his tribe of Benjamin, one's from the nation of Israel in the bigger category, all the way down to his teachers and his colleagues and his contemporaries and what he used to be. All of those voices, we know of no exception. But all of those voices out of his past were screaming at him. What are you doing? What have you become? This is who you were. This is what you were trained to be. This was your life, and here you are now following to the point of laying down everything that we blessed you with in your inheritance in education and family lineage and national unity. You're laying all of that down for this one called Jesus of Nazareth. You know what? There was something about all that the Apostle Paul as Saul grew up in. Now hear this carefully. That was not freedom. It was bondage. So his choice, in some ways of expressing it, came between continuing a life of bondage that was tied to everything virtually that he knew and a life of freedom that was in his relationship with Jesus. And he chose the life of freedom. They were still talking. They still had opinions. Till the day he died, till the day he was martyred, many would probably say, what a loss. I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace of God did not prove in vain in my life. Grace of God gave me energy. The grace of God gave me direction. The grace of God gave me the ability to not have to be crippled by what I did in the past or chained by the opinions of those in my past. I labored, I worked more than any of the rest. But it wasn't just me doing it, it was the grace of God working in me. Okay, now go back to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you permission to lay down things that have been causing you to labor to exhaustion. But then he says, take my yoke upon you. It's as if he's saying, and well, it is that he's saying, you can't take my yoke up until you've laid down some stuff. Now we're talking about it. You watch these in this San Antonio rock and roll marathon that's coming in just a little bit. They're going to run by our house somewhere over there. I've got these markers out there. And I'm going to tell you what. By the time they hit that part of the race, there are going to be some scantily clad runners. Shoes, shorts, a top, and a number. And that's it. They've got to make a choice between, am I going to try to run this marathon, 26.2 miles, am I going to try to run this marathon with all the other stuff that I normally carry, with my other kind of shoes, with all the clothes I would wear, with a big, fat, full tummy, with all that stuff I like to eat? Somehow a greater joy than holding on to all of that causes them to strip down to practically nothing. To eat cautiously and carefully, to hydrate themselves, to practice and run and get ready for months. Why would they do that? They would only do that if for some reason it was a higher joy. It was a greater sense of accomplishment. But if they're going to do it, they're going to have to let go of some stuff. And I'm just saying to us, folks. The destiny that the Lord has for you, has for all of us, is going to require of us, call us to, the letting go of the impact of some voices in our past. The letting go of what can seem to be the residue of some things that happened, that were put on us, that happened. And realizing time has not taken the effect of that away. But I hear my Lord saying, you have permission to lay it down. So then I say back to the Lord, Lord, if I'm going to lay it down, you're going to have to help me. Now you spell it H-E-P, hep. That's how they said it where I grew up. You have to help me. That means I just don't need an attaboy. I just don't need a you can do this. I know that's not just me. Here's a plan for you to follow. I need somebody bigger than me to get inside of me and with his mind affecting my mind, correct my wrong thinking. And Paul would say, and we have the mind of Christ. To be filled with the Spirit means to be brought under the control of the Spirit, infused with the energy of the Spirit and the thoughts of the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? The Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom to not have to keep walking and keep carrying. I am what I am. By the grace of God, take my yoke upon you in the place of this other stuff that's been wearing you out. And learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, he said at one point, I'm going to give you rest, and now he's saying you're going to find rest. What's he talking about? Well, that's where we're going. And the days to come, Lord willing. There is a rest that he gives, a permission to lay things down. But then there's also a place of and a way of living that finds rest. And somehow the finding of the rest of the Lord is tied to understanding what this taking up the yoke of Jesus is all about. I'll just give you a little hint. Verse 30. My yoke Not the yokes of what has been put on you by all this stuff, wrongs in the past, sins in the past, voices in the past, circumstances in the past. That's one yoke, but here's my yoke. You can't wear both yokes. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Now, what in the thunder does he mean by that? When all these Christians in the first century were martyred, so many of them went to their death. The word translated easy can also be translated fits. The size is right for you. I don't buy many shoes, boots. If I find me a couple of them at work, then I'm just good with that. Just, you know. But you get a, if you're a 11D like I am, and you get a 11C, I just take this, throw it back on the shelf. You get one, you get a pair of boots, and it's 11E. And it won't hold your foot in healing. Jesus says, my yoke, fashioned by the one who wired you, who created you, who fashioned you. Your parents gave birth to you. Your teachers tried to teach you the things that they had been taught. But nobody knows your size like I know your size. My yoke fits. Saul was trying to wear the yoke of the Pharisees, and it would chafe. He tried to live up to the reputation of the Benjaminites, and it didn't fit. But when Jesus on the Damascus road says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And his eyes were open and he saw who it was. And then Ananias was sent to minister to him and pray over him. And the Lord said to Ananias, he is my chosen instrument to the Gentiles. And I will show him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. You say, well, I just don't understand why Paul from the Philippian jail, Roman jail in Philippi, say in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's in a jail cell. No. The yoke fits. The size is right. You can cover some pretty rough country in a pair of shoes that fit you. But you try walking it in shoes that don't fit or barefoot, and you're going to be wadded up somewhere rubbing your big toe off the trail. To say my yoke fits does not mean to say everywhere I lead you is going to necessarily be circumstantially easy. But what you will know when you're knower is that you're right where you're supposed to be. That it fits. My yoke fits. My yoke fits. It fits me. It doesn't fit her. It doesn't fit him. It doesn't fit my mama. It doesn't fit my professor. It doesn't fit my former employers. It fits me. Jesus, I want that yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now this is the one who would go to the cross. This is the one who would cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Paul would say, we despaired even of life. It was so hard. What does he mean? My burden is light. You got to understand again that the Bible wasn't written in English, so we have to move it from the ancient language into a current language. So we got lots of different choices to try to explain what one particular or a series of original words would mean. My burden is light. Doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't have any weight to it. that for some it might be absolutely insurmountable. It would crush some. But for some reason, think with me now, for some reason, what the Lord has allowed you to walk through, and as you're seeking to follow Him, it's a burden, but it hadn't killed you. It's been a burden that has been light enough with His help for you to keep walking. And to keep walking, not just with a sad, withered down, oh, I just poor me. It said, you know, I'm going to trust Him with strength for today. I need to trust Him to, I know I'm going to face those, hear those faces and those voices. But somehow He's given me the ability to keep going. The burden doesn't crush you. The burden doesn't demolish you. Whereas the other burdens, remember that old donkey? You know, the weight of the wagon and the donkey, all 4 feet in the air. Somehow, the burden that comes along with the yoke of Jesus doesn't just completely demobilize you. Somehow, you keep going. Somehow, there's a sense that He's your Father and you're His child. Somehow there's a knowledge on the inside of you. It's not going to be like this forever. But as long as it is like this, I feel His presence. I'm understanding His peace. And I'm not freaking out. I'm not trying to put all the pieces together. I don't feel the weight of the world on me. I just know that He's going to give me the grace that I need for the next step to get through this. You know, one thing that's just in this capitalistic, entertainment, drunk society that we live in, we think we can come to the only Christians who really have anything to say to a watching world are the ones who have been miraculously, immediately just picked up and delivered from some dramatic, catastrophic condition, financially, medically, or whatever. And those are the ones that, boy, if I could ever have that happen. But how many gazillions are there out there who are knowing the same might of the living God by giving you a sense of peace, a sense of rest, even in the middle of knowing I got another day to take. I got another step to take. I got another meeting I got to walk through. I got another place, another day to prove the sufficiency of God in my life. There weren't that many of the superstars who were snatched out of death and brought into blazing pinnacles of popularity in the first century. I mean, there were many who were healed, many were served, but most of the time nobody even knew very little of who they were. But when Jesus would say, looking down across the centuries, knowing that just in 30 years, 40 years, Jerusalem would be in rubble, 40 A.D., 70 A.D., Jerusalem sacked, destroyed, the walls torn down, the Roman legions covering the city, butchering the people. Christians caught up in that. Rome turns against some capital punishment to be a Christian. And He would be saying to them, take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me. And you'll find rest for your souls because My yoke fits you, and My burden will not crush you. Either that is true, or we have found a place where Jesus was and is a phony because He didn't tell the truth. And yet, we fast forward to this day. I'm looking into the faces of folks, many of whom I know. You may not say I'm a candidate, I'm the poster child for Matthew 11, 28, you know. But in many ways you are. You have walked away from some things because you've heard another sense of voice to your heart. That those are the things that shackled you. You say, well, I had more money then. Okay, great. I had more money then. I had a bigger house then. I had this. I had that. I had whatever. Okay, well, let me ask this. Were you free? Or were you a slave to a system? You see, Paul died penniless. He died with the rejection of all the big voices in his life speaking those things against him. But he died free. And he died understanding that what's down here in this life is just the blink of an eye as far as eternity goes. And I'm not living my life down here as if it's only place I'm going to have established residence. I just keep pressing on for the higher calling of my Lord. You know, you can do about anything for a short period of time. If you realize it's just for a short period of time, you can do about anything. If we get to thinking that that short period of time is a sum total of my lifespan, that's it. I'm so tied to living in the moment that if I'm facing four or five moments strung together, they're going to be pretty tough. I can want to check out. But if I see it, that's just a blip on the screen. I just keep pressing on for the higher calling of my Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these words from your word. I pray great encouragement in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to open up the valves of the flow of the river of life freshly to us today and into our beings. And that your encouragement, your support, your strength, your steadiness, your joy, the sense of identification of who we are in your heart and who you are to us will just overwhelm us. I pray, Lord, for great rest, the deep rest of God, the deep peace of God to flood our souls today. And that we would understand what it is to have calendar dates and even years or decades of events and people's voices in our lives, but to understand that there's not one of them who is God. There is not one of them who knows everything. There is not one of them who has ever been able to speak the sum total truth of who we are. And yet you have chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. A delight to our Father with a mission and a call and a purpose in our lives that fits us individually. Lord, I thank you for the recording in Scripture by Luke as he wrote in the book of Acts and described many of the circumstances in Paul's life, how he would say that Paul was a tent maker by trade. And that again and again, as Paul desired not to be a burden on new churches that he established, he was back in the marketplace dealing with people and working with his hands for the purpose of making a profit by producing a quality product. All of that was a part of your plan for Paul. All of that was a part of your yoke for Paul that fit him. He He's good at making tents, good at working with his hands. He wasn't supposed to jettison that and do nothing but sit and write scripture. It was both. Help us to see that. Help us to understand that. Help us to be free in that freedom. My yoke fits, but where I am, you say, there's freedom. For the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the joy in working with our hands, every bit as much as the joy of sharing our faith with a coworker, or a family member, or a neighbor. My yoke fits you. And my burden is light. You'll be able to carry this. You can count on me to give you strength to make it the rest of the way. For other people, it may be too much. But I know what you can do with my grace enabling you to do what you do. The grace of God was not expressed in vain to me. I worked, Paul would say, but it is the grace of God working with me, in me, in partnership with me. Deep rest for a deep tired, for a yoke that fits, and a burden that is light. Thank you, Lord. Take it deep into us. Just don't let us be able to close the page of a notebook or the Bible and walk away from this if there's more revelation that you want to bring to us individually. Please finish the work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.